It's time now for Radio Vermont's News and Public Affairs program. Open Mic with your host, Hester Fuller. The phone lines to speak with Hester are open, 802-244-1777 and toll-free 1-877-291-8255. And now here's your host of Open Mic, Hester Fuller.
And thank you, John, the Joyful Noise Noise. We're happy to be here back again on Monday morning here at WDEV on Caucus Monday out in Iowa. They're getting up and having their breakfast and getting ready to go in after work and run around the little rooms there and sort themselves out into piles for the different candidates. And the political theater that we've all been part of this year so far, actually starting last year, turns real. The game gets real starting today. We'd love to know what you think about it. In our first half hour here, we're opening the phone lines. It's open mic for a reason. 244-1777, 877-291-8255. The topic our first half hour will be the Iowa caucus and your perspective on it. Then coming up at 9:30, we are looking forward to meeting with Gregory Ramos, who is the director of the Vermont Stage production of Mothers and Sons, which opened last week. It's running through Valentine's Day. We'll hear about that production. And you'll have a chance to ask him questions, too, about Vermont Stage, about directing, about the play, and the many important issues that it explores. At the top of our next hour, of course, we have our news break, and then we head down to Washington and talk to our folks at Talk Media News about what they see happening. I'm having a feeling that the buzz down there is going to be all about what's happening in Iowa, but we'll wait and see. And then I'm looking forward to more theatricality, more showmanship coming in at the midpoint of the 10 o'clock first half hour, which is we're expecting a visit from John Gilmore, an old friend of WDEV. He might even come a little sooner, which would be perfectly fine with me. And Rusty DeWeese, who is staging the Vermont Winter Stars series of productions up in Stowe, weekend nights, Saturday nights and Friday nights. I think this week it's only a Saturday night show. John's going to be on stage with what he promises to be a vaguely grown-up evening of songs and comedy. So we'll talk to John about that and see what they have in mind. Right now, though, you are the stars, and the topic is the caucuses. Give me a call, would you? 244-1777 or toll-free 877-291-8255. What do you think's going to happen tonight? Where do you think folks are going to be sorting themselves out? Who's got a good chance? Are we in for some surprises? Do you think the media have pegged it correctly? Do you think the media are having an influence over those sensible folks in Iowa? That's farm country, you know. Those people have some sense. So it will be interesting to see what kind of moves they make and what kind of stuff they do. We're going to be having coverage here on WDEV right after high school basketball tonight, and we encourage you to tune in for that. If you've got a plan already of how you're going to cover and collect information about the Iowa caucuses, give us a call. You got an app for your iPhone, an app for your iPad? Give us a call. Tell us about it. Share your lines into tonight's news with our listeners so that they can follow along as well. With me today is my co-conspirator and treasured colleague, Tom McLeod. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. Thank you for the nice intro.
I hear you had a good weekend.
No.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, we don't... We
can't say anything, but I saw Star Wars, and I will be in grieving till the next one because they have to fix that.
They have to fix that. Well, you know, they could, you know.
Yeah.
Stranger things have happened in American media.
I know.
I mean, they brought Sarah Palin back to life, so it could possibly happen.
Sure,
it
could possibly happen. Something altogether different right there. But have you ever been to Iowa before?
I have been to Iowa.
Where'd you go in Iowa?
I went on Highway 80. I think that goes through Iowa. Maybe it was Highway 70. I can't keep track. But what I remember about Iowa is that it goes and goes and goes, and you're going through cornfields, and if you look out the bus window, as I did back in 1974, I had one of those Ameripasses, remember, that Greyhound used to sell, where you could plunk down a chunk of change and travel wherever you wanted to for a month. Yeah. It was a wonderful adventure. But I sat there looking out the window at Iowa, and I practically gave myself a seizure because those cornrows went by and went by and went by, and that moire pattern kind of gets to nervous system after a while.
How open it is out there. Mm-hmm. And then you think of, well, Vermont, we have fields, and we do, Addison County for sure. But you come home to Vermont, go through Washington County after being in Iowa, and it looks like a jungle compared to how open it is out there.
Yeah, I was really struck by the way the earth kind of curves away from underneath your feet When you're out, when you get past New England, really, when you're in the Great Plains, certainly when you're out west, this great, huge sense of openness. It's very different. New England landscape kind of cradles you, you know?
Yeah.
And out there, it's a different thing.
Different, whole different thing.
Mm-hmm. It's so, really pretty wonderful.
Be interesting. And I remember the people in Iowa spent quite a long time out there, off and on. And I remember, though, they were very not trusting of larger areas, bigger metropolises on the East Coast.
Oh, yeah? Gee, I wonder why that is.
I don't know, but it's just interesting, you know, with some of our candidates who were from those areas.
The bigger cities as opposed to the farming states.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the most interesting little tidbits I've been hearing on the news as the caucuses draw nigh are reports of scattered conservative Republicans who are going for our man Bernie. Have you been hearing about that?
Oh, I've been hearing so much. It's all going to be worked out
today gets real,
and,
you know.
Yeah, it does.
The pundits and the media people who are oh so smart and could tell us ahead of time what was going to happen.
Yes.
We'll
and
just
the polls,
see if they're right.
Of course, the polls are never wrong. Ask Harry Truman.
The polls. Oh, my goodness. The only poll that counts is the one that starts tonight in Iowa. What do you think, listeners? What do you think about the spectacle in Iowa and the advent of the caucuses? 244-1777 or toll free 877-291-8255. Love to hear from you. It would be a good thing to know what you think is going to go on and how you're going to track it. We're going to have coverage here at WDEV at the end of the high school basketball game. Tom, do you know who I haven't followed it as closely as I know I should have. Who's playing tonight?
Tonight is, the boys. Linden is going to play Randolph in 6:45 tonight.
Uh-huh. Good. And which division is that?
You know? That's a wonderful question. I'm sure someone is
sorry,
qualified.
I didn't mean to put you on
the
spot.
No, that's okay. Fortunately, someone, Lee Cattell, our wonderful program director, has all of this information that makes me look like I actually know something.
Yep, well, Lee has this stuff in his DNA, so when he rolls in, we'll get the definitive word
Lee
about
and,
the...
And Bob Welch, a lot of these guys are, really know their sports. I know golf, I know NASCAR.
But you're not as up on your high
then
school
it gets shaky,
I know that there was action this week in track and field for some of our high school athletes. I'd love to hear from one of those folks if you want to give us a call and tell us how your family athlete did. 244-1777 or toll free 877-291-8255. You know, one thing that really interests me, Tom, in this modern day and age, I think it's really cool that I can get an app on my iPhone or my iPad that can allow me to sort of collect the news and the returns on things like the Iowa caucus myself without a filter in between me and the news events.
It is amazing. Technology just, it's, I don't know, it's not a big enough word to describe just how interesting it is. It's like CORM has an app to track in real time accidents and delays on the interstate. And of course, you remember from radio days of past how impossible that was.
Sure was.
Ray Burke.
Well, we had Ray Burke, which is as good as any app.
Yes. But still on that, of course, school closings and stuff. Now that's all from an official source, not somebody saying, school's canceled.
Oh, I used to hang on that, didn't you? Listen for that stuff. I still get a little thrill. You know, on the internet now, you can tune in radio stations all over the country. In fact, some of you, I imagine, are listening to us on the internet because we do stream live. WDEVradio.com. And I still get a tickle. I still get a thrill when I hear my grammar school on the list of no school today.
Which one's that?
Shore School in Beverly, Massachusetts.
Oh, okay.
Yep, long time ago. And I get a big kick out of listening to the no school announcements when they announce that. Really good. No snow today, though.
No, it was 54 degrees, it says, on top of our
I did my chores in a T-shirt this morning. I couldn't believe it. Didn't even have a coat on.
Don't really like it. You know, I'm always complaining about, oh, no, here comes another long Vermont winter. But this one has not been really much of a winter.
Well,
and I like the changing seasons. I guess this is why I stay in our lovely state.
It can keep changing right into summer if it feels like it, in my book.
Well, I don't know. I have a lot of friends that ski and snowmobile, and the snowmobilers are really hurt.
Yeah, that's certainly true.
And that, you know, hurts the businesses. That I remember 10 years ago when we had a terrible winter for lack of snow, and a lot of little general stores up in the kingdom went out of business because they didn't have that. All the snowmobilers come by.
That's a problem. I wonder if the woods are getting mucky, too. I wonder how the logging guys are doing.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a little bit on the muddy side. Of course, might be an easier winter for the deer. We had the low deer population, so there's always, like you say, a plus for every minus.
We'll see. Oh, I know what I was going to tell you. I woke up yesterday morning and there were giant pie plate sized footprints outside my bedroom window. I had a moose walk through my yard last night.
Bigfoot or something. I wasn't sure where you were going with that, but a moose. Did you see it?
No, I didn't. I just saw the tracks.
Saw the tracks.
It's exciting. I like that kind of thing.
Oh, they're amazing. They had 300 people up at Lake Elmore for the free fishing day, fishing mm-hmm. game department. So that was good. They
didn't lose anybody through the ice.
Well,
I trust.
The ice was pretty thick, actually. So it's colder up there.
We'll have to get John in here to talk about that because he's an Elmore guy. He might. He might have seen firsthand what happened out on the lake yesterday. Right now, though, we're looking for you, waiting for you to give us a call. Tell us what's on your mind on this Monday morning. 244-1777 or call us toll-free, 877-291-8255. Are you tuning in? Are you caring about what happens in Iowa today? Who do you hope wins? Where do you hope things stand at the end of this day? Give us a call, 244-1777, 877-291-8255. Or if you've kind of had it already with the political theater we've been enduring now for over a year, what else is on your mind? What's going on in your Vermont this morning? We'd love to hear it. 244-1777 or toll-free 877-291-8255. We're going to take a little break, do a little business, and we'll be back right after this. Good morning and welcome back. I'm Hester Fuller here with you on WDEV for Open Mic, as I am every Monday morning from 9 until 11. Got a bit of a frog in my throat this morning. I'm not contagious, I promise, but I'm a little bit scratchy. So do me a favor, call in so I don't have to talk so much. How about that? 244-1777 or toll-free 877-291-8255. It's Caucus Monday in Iowa. What do you think is going to happen out there? Give us a call. Let us know. What do you think what happens out there matters? I mean, how does it matter what happens out there? If Hillary wins, what does that say? If Bernie wins, what does that say? People can win without winning everybody, too, in Iowa, because you collect delegates. You don't necessarily do a winner-take-all. If Mr. Trump does as well as he's pretty sure he will, what does that say? And where does that put him? And where does that put any of the many contenders for the Republican nomination? Give us a call. What is your opinion? What do you think about the Iowa caucus taking place tonight after work? 244-1777 is our number here, or you can call us toll free at 877-291-8255. Of course, Tom, Vermont's primary is coming up on town meeting day. We're all part of, isn't that the Super Tuesday when there's like 19,000 states that are all doing it at the same time?
Interesting. And of course, then town meeting, sign of winter on the way.
Spring on the way.
Yeah, wake up. Good morning, Tom. February, of course, we were talking about high school basketball. This is when it starts coming to an end. So all these little signs that if winter doesn't start getting cool, like you said, I don't think it's bring on spring.
It would be great. It would be wonderful. The seed catalogs are in, too.
I saw it early, though, it seems. The burpees?
Yeah. Burpees, Fedco, Brex, all those good things. It's wonderful to have them piling up on my kitchen table. Sit down with my yogurt and oatmeal in the morning and flip through those. It really is a sign of spring. Looking forward to it.
They say the farmers and the gardeners and such, that is, it's coming.
Yep, it is coming when you see those come in.
Be early to get the seeds now, right? Don't you wait a little bit?
Oh, yeah. You can order now, but they won't be coming your way until closer to the official date of spring.
Okay.
And then, of course, that old chestnut, we know there's a long way between the first day of spring and the first spring day, but we can start things in our living rooms and keep the cats away. You can get some seedlings going and get them
That's
in the
true.
Ground.
Yes.
It'll be good. Give us a call here on Monday morning, 244-1777 or toll-free, 877-291-8255. What are you thinking about this morning? What's happening in your Vermont this morning? Been watching the legislature last week? It looks like over the weekend they did a little bit of homework, so that's good. The House has apparently passed something that will ease that spending cap on school budgets or raise it a little bit.
That went late. It went into midnight or so into the
weekend.
Well,
they had to get it done.
It did stall, yep. And it looked like, oh boy, here we go. And they hammered something out, so we'll see.
We'll see. Well, is it time? Is there enough time, though, for school boards to rejigger their budgets in time to get them into the warning for for town meeting?
That is worthy of a guest in itself. That's a long, complicated. We've had some folks with Mike, but even them, with their knowledge, it takes a lot. And then to break it down so us taxpayers can understand what is going on is something all different.
Yeah, well, the taxes keep going up. That's the one thing I can kind of pretty much count on. I don't mind if they shift around the way they spend them. I don't have a problem paying taxes for things that are worthwhile. I don't mind paying for my police department. I don't mind paying for my fire department. I don't mind paying for my schools. Do have a bit of a problem bailing out banks, but that's probably another conversation.
Another one. We're coming up. We've got to start writing some of these ideas down.
Well, you know, so. maybe a candidate could use one or two of them. What do you think? Well, they're voting out in Iowa today. One of our topics this morning is the process that's happening out there. We'd love to hear what you think about it, or maybe you're fed up. Maybe you've heard enough. 244-1777 or 877-291-8255 will put you in touch with us toll free. I'm Hester Fuller. I'm here every Monday morning from 9 until 11 o'clock on Open Mic. And this chair is occupied the rest of the week by Mike Smith, who also does this program.
Got to call Amia, see what's going on here.
Oh,
be
good.
Right back.
See what's happening. That's good. We love to hear from our listeners because they give us direction and they give us ideas about what are the important things we should be focusing on. Get a lot of good ideas for shows from listeners who call in. If they're curious about something, if you're curious about something, if there's an expert you'd like me to try and Shanghai and bring in here, give me a call and we'll do our very best. 244-1777, 877-291-8255 is our toll-free number. Oh, good old Ramen down in Williamstown. Ramen, you saved my bacon again this week.
Yeah, hey, listen, on making the changes on budgets or anything like that, mm-hmm. probably absolutely no.
Yeah.
The only thing that people need to hope for, and I know in Williamstown it's too late for that too, because we've already submitted our stuff to the printer to go out in the town reports. But it's going to be, a lot of people are going to see misleading information in the town reports, and it's not because the school boards submitted inaccurate information. It's because the laws changed between the time that the stuff was sent off to the printers mm-hmm. and that it's going to get sent to them.
So what do you think that means? What are the boards going to have to do? Will they print up like revised budgets and present them as amendments or something like that at town meeting? What do you think? What are you guys going to do?
I don't know. Yeah, mm-hmm. you know, it's easy to deal with if you do floor votes. It becomes more complicated mm-hmm. if you're dealing with Australian ballot voting. But just to throw one more hint into there, even if they had done this change a month ago and we could have included it in the books, we still don't get all of the final numbers for another few months anyway.
That's certainly true, and that's been something that has plagued the budget builders for Vermont school districts in particular for years.
Well, it's kind of a circular reasoning thing, and mm-hmm. there's an illogical logic behind why it happens how it happens. I mean, they can't really set the tax rates so they know what the budgets look like, so they give a best guess estimate as far as, you know, what's going to come in on base rates. That's what schools work from, is the best guess estimate to what the legislature will do. And generally, they don't change it so much that it has any radical effect.
Mm-hmm.
So, but nonetheless, people just need to be aware that the information they see on final tax rates may not reflect the current reality.
Yeah, and they'll hear more about it if they attend their meeting. Up in Craftsbury, they're doing something different this year. They're swapping the times for the meetings. The school meeting will be in the morning, and this town meeting will be in the afternoon this time.
Well, we do ours at Australian Ballot here in Williamstown, and I'm not sure as the select board will go first one year, and then the next year the school board will go first, mm-hmm. or sometimes we just arbitrarily change it because it's all warned for the same time. But we do, the laws also, one of the things that did get changed for the Australian balloting on money issues, including school budgets, they changed the law, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, to where you can discuss the issue on the floor
uh-huh.
at town meeting. You don't have to, you know, it's not something that you just have to shut down discussion about. So people can still show up, get information as to what's happening, even if they're voting by Australian ballot.
Now, let me ask you a question. How long has Williamstown been doing that, been handling the money issues with Australian ballot?
The first year was 2010.
Because that's a subject that comes up often in the days and weeks following town meeting in a number of towns, the feeling that certain budgets pass because only a very dedicated and interested subset of voters is still around when the votes are actually taken. So there's been talk in some towns about switching to Australian ballot because it would increase the number of folks who actually participate in those decisions. Other people argue that that just kind of kills discussion. It sounds like Williamstown has made a move to keep discussion open on town meeting day and yet still afford all the voters an opportunity to register an opinion.
Well, it's you're kind of on keeping the discussion open. That's part of what we're allowed to do. I mean, so I... Yeah. So yes, we do like to be there. There are some minor issues to vote on the floor, mm-hmm. But the bit with the Australian ballot was kind of interesting. It was something I know I pushed for when I came on the school board and back in 2009, and I did it because over the years is attendance at the town meeting for floor votes in Williamstown had been going down on a steady basis. And we were at the point where we had maybe 70 to 80 people deciding on what has grown into this year it'll be right around a $9 million budget.
That's the situation in many towns.
And one thing that has happened, I don't think Australian ballot has changed the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
I think what it did was allowed more people to come in and weigh in on how they felt about the budget.
And that has to be a plus, because if taxes go up, it goes down better if everyone's had a chance to weigh in on
No, I think overall it's a positive, and if people do have questions about the budget, they do have the opportunity to talk to the school board directly before they go cast their votes. So it's not necessarily the best of all worlds, but I think it's the best answer for Williamstown at this point in time.
Well, I think there are a lot of towns that are thinking about that as well. And I want to thank you so much for calling in. I loved hearing from you. I always love hearing from you. Every week, Raman gives me a call from Williamstown to fill me in and bring me up to speed on what's going on in that part of the state, and I hope you'll continue to do that. I really welcome your input. You're listening to Open Mic. My name is Hester Fuller, and I'll be with you until 11 o'clock this morning, and we're looking for your calls, too, 244-1777, 877-291-8255 is our toll-free number. We'll be back right after these. That's our music. Good heavens. That's peppy. You are tuned to WDEV, and you are listening to Open Mic. My name is Hester Fuller. I'm with you until 11 o'clock every Monday morning, and we're glad to have you along as well. We've been talking about the Iowa caucuses and town meeting and other civic affairs that are on the docket for most of us over the next few weeks. Tom, you know, one of the things that I've noticed, I've been reading, following the political theater that has been transpiring across the nation in the run-up to the Iowa caucuses. And this time, this season in the country often brings out new talent in the journalism department, in the coverage department. And I have to say, I've been very impressed with some of the coverage I've been reading in Vermont Digger by Jasper Craven. I don't know if you've been listening to reading any of his stuff.
Very talented folks over there.
Really talented and really, really good.
Nice resource.
Oh, I'm getting a message from Cheryl that one of my guests has arrived. Thank heavens. Goodness. Come right on in. Come right on in. I'm very happy to see you.
We do have a caller.
Are you Gregory? Oh, we have a caller. Come right in, Gregory. Have a seat. We have a caller that we need to check in with because he took the trouble to give us a ring. Fred from Newberry.
Oh, morning.
Morning.
The presidential election, what was the last time that three consecutive administrations with the same party?
Gracious, that's a good question. I bet that comes up on Parker Pie next summer.
It's an important question because if you do a rough calculation, it looks like we won't have it's not going to happen again.
Well, it looks like, would it be Reagan to Bush 1?
Yeah, the best of my knowledge was Reagan Bush. Okay, so that was... So right now it comes out to be it's about a one chance out of six that you're going to have three consecutive a Democratic or a Republican administration.
Now, Fred, why do you think that's important? What happens either way in your mind?
The odds are against it. The odds are so against having another Democratic administration.
I hear you. But is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Good thing or a bad thing? It depends upon your worldview.
Yes, I guess it does.
You know, what's your worldview?
My worldview? It's be kind. Be
right,
kind
so
is my worldview.
So you sound like a progressive.
A progressive?
Yeah.
I'm a progressive about some things, but I'm very conservative about other things. I like to keep my options open. How about you?
Well, I'm a conservative.
All the way down the line?
Yeah.
Yeah,
right. I'm basically a conservative.
So what's your take on what we're seeing unfolding across the country in this election season, which is underway too soon in my book, but anyway, here we are.
Yeah, I believe it's people are just fed up. That's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. You got a guy like Trump, and he's doing what he's doing. You just look at the news, and it's just weird. It's unbelievable. And why is it so unbelievable? Because people are fed up. People are willing to take the dice and throw it and risk getting craps.
Well, who knows?
What do you think?
Well, one question in my mind is, how much responsibility do you think the media has for what we're seeing?
I don't think they have any responsibility.
Well,
they're not responsible for stuff. They play their game, whatever game they want to play.
Mm.
I mean, it looks like Trump, because of how he behaves, has got the media's attention. He doesn't have to do anything. He sounds outrageous. And sometimes he is outrageous.
Well, I think the media always has a choice about who they give airtime to and who they feed oxygen to.
So who are they feeding oxygen to?
They're feeding oxygen to him.
Who else?
You tell me.
Bernie Sanders is in a ton of news media.
Mm-hmm.
So Bernie Sanders is Bernie Sanders, and it's Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
That's who's getting all the...
So do you think that's who we're going to see on the ballot in November?
Wouldn't that be so exciting, wouldn't it?
It would be different than we've seen before. I've got to run, Fred, because one of my guests has just arrived, but I thank you very much for calling, and I hope you'll check in with us again. To our listeners, we are WDEV in Waterbury, and you are tuned to Open Mic, and my name is Hester Fuller, and I'm with you until 11 o'clock, and we're going to take a quick break and be right back. Good morning and welcome back to Open Mic. My gracious, the frog in my throat is getting more aggressive. You are tuned to WDEV and I'm Hester Fuller, and I'm here this morning with a wonderful guest that I'm very happy to have with me, Gregory Ramos, who's a director from Vermont Stage. Over the last 30 years or so, America has witnessed the emergence of a gay culture more, if not quite mainstream universally, certainly into the open to a much greater extent than many folks might have expected to see even in their lifetimes. And this passage in American cultural history is the context for Terrence McNally's drawing room drama, I guess you could call it, Mothers and Sons. And Gregory Ramos is the director of Mothers and Sons for Vermont Stage. Hello. And welcome.
Hello, thank you. It's great to be here.
I'm very glad that you're here. This drama is a bumpy road for a lot of folks. It really explores a lot of themes that we can connect with, whether or not we feel we're part of that culture, which is its context.
Mm-hmm, true.
Love and marriage and family and so forth. Can you give our listeners a little bit of an idea of what they're in for if they stop up?
Well, sure. The story that we're seeing is takes place in Manhattan in a beautiful apartment on the Upper West Side, and it takes place over the period of 90 minutes. So when the lights go up and the audience spends 90 minutes in the lives of four characters. The apartment is owned by a character named Cal. He's married to a man named Will, and they're raising a son together. And unexpectedly, there's a knock at the door, and the character Catherine shows up. Catherine is the mother, or she had a son named Andre who passed away of AIDS some years back, 20 years before the beginning of the show. And Cal was her son's lover. And Catherine had a lot of issues with her son's sexual orientation, and in fact comes to sort of reconcile the past, you might say, and that's the story we see unfold before us.
Okay.
You mentioned the notion of the kind of changes we've seen in terms of how the presence of gay lives in America, and I think one of the really wonderful things that the play explores is the notion that, you know, when the AIDS crisis predominantly in the 80s, was catastrophic for so many people and so many young lives were lost. And yet it was something that really galvanized the gay community and gay rights activists in ways that maybe nothing else could have. So I think some people would argue that a lot of the civil rights advances we've seen for gay, lesbian, and trans folks in our time are a result of the way the community galvanized in those years.
Yeah, Mark Twain, I guess, was the one who said it's nothing like looking at death to focus your attention and
right.
to get yourself going. My guest is Gregory Ramos, who is a director for Vermont Stage and their production at the Flynn Space of the drama by Terrence McNally, Mothers and Sons. It's on stage from now through Valentine's Day at Flynn Space. At the heart of this story, there seems to be more than one deep, deep division between people who had once hoped or maybe even expected to find a deep connection, mm-hmm. but instead found that they just weren't able to make brave and authentic connections. Some of them, like Hal, mm-hmm. evidently triumph, and others, like Catherine, find time kind of running out for them before they can get across. Is that
right.
your
right.
read?
Well, that's, I think, one of the many beautiful and profound notions that the play explores, that we have a limited amount of time, mm-hmm. and we make choices in our lives, and it's never too late, as long as we have breath in us, yeah. it's never too late to seek redemption for choices we've made in the past that we might not feel great about. And that inform our experience in day-to-day life. So that is definitely one of the things that the play explores.
Why did you want to do this play at this time?
Oh, wow. Well, I love Terrence McNally's work. He's the playwright. I knew of the play. I did not see the New York production, but it was performed on Broadway. It was actually written for the actress Tyne Daly. So I knew of the play, and I read the play, and it struck a very personal and emotional chord for me. I'm the same age as the character Cal, roughly, and I was coming of age in the 80s, and I was a performer in New York City. I started my career as a dancer, and I experienced what it was to know friends and colleagues who were infected and who were sadly losing their lives mm-hmm. to AIDS, and I lost a number of people in those years. So the play, on a personal level, I felt like I understood the play. I understood what the play was saying, and I understood what McNally was attempting with the play. And one of the things he's attempting is the notion of us honoring and remembering those folks that were lost. There's a line in the play that says, you know, the character Will says, "What happened to gay men in the 20th century?" It's going to be a chapter in a book, and then it's going to be a paragraph, and then it's going to be a footnote, and who's going to remember? And this is McNally's way of honoring those people.
So a really profound personal connection
right.
and meaning from the story. Now, I'm not too familiar with the work of directing a stage production, so I love to ask people about
right.
their jobs.
Right.
And it must be kind of a challenge in this day of, you know, quick cut video to maintain the momentum in a drawing room drama, basically.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Well, it is. It's interesting, and I appreciate that question, because I don't think a lot of people, although people know that every show has a director, I don't think people actually know what a director does.
That's true.
And, you know, I chair the theater department at the University of Vermont, so I have the privilege of teaching directing classes and overseeing student directing projects. And one of the things that I always tell students is that everything on that stage as a director is your responsibility. Every color, every the pacing of the play, the choices the actors make. At the end of the day, I think an effective director has a vision of what the piece is, what the play is, and they find a way to love people into doing.
Love people into
right?
doing it?
Love,
what does that mean?
Well, I, you know, when I was in graduate school, I had some amazing mentors, and one of the people I studied with said to me when I was directing something, she said, "Remember, you can love people into doing anything, because at the end of the day, part of your job as a director is getting people to do what you want them to do or what you need them to do to realize the vision for the show." And it in my experiences, that was great advice, and I think one can be much more effective with love than scaring people or ordering people or demanding of others.
You know, the more you talk about it, the more it sounds like a profession I've engaged in my lifetime, which is teaching.
Right. Right. I think there's a lot of teaching in it. And at the same time, there's a very interesting dynamic because you're working with other folks who are, if you're lucky, really good at what they do. So I've, sometimes I'll go into a project with capable actors and say to them, my job is to sort of serve your needs and get out of your way so you can do what you do. And we'll come to an agreement about what the flavor is of the scene, what the play is trying to say, but it's really their job, just like it's the job of the designers and the job of the stage manager to do what they do to make the production alive.
My guest is Gregory Ramos, who is the director of the Vermont stage production of Terrence McNally's Tony-nominated play Mothers and Sons on stage now at Flint Space in Burlington, right?
That's correct.
Right straight to Valentine's.
That's right.
That sounds like a great evening out.
It is a great evening out. It's my favorite kind of evening. It's 90 minutes long. You can go for dinner before the show, go experience the show. It's 90 minutes, no intermission. You're home in enough time to let the sitter go early and or plug into your favorite, late night news show.
Sounds great. Sounds really terrific. And we hope our listeners will make a plan to go there. If you've got a question for Gregory, give us a call. We are at 244. I've got to get my phone numbers out here. 244-1777 or toll free 877-291-8255. Got a question about acting? Got a question about Vermont Stage? Got a question about directing? Give us a call. Now, Vermont Stage has been around for quite a while. What do you have an idea of some other things that we can look forward to this season?
Oh, sure. They do a great season there. The artistic director is Christina Alisea. I want to say this is Christina's fifth year, maybe, as artistic director. She took over for Mark Nash, who was artistic director there for a number of years and did some wonderful work. Upcoming is a production called Dancing Lessons. It's a two-person show. And after that, there's a wonderful piece called I and You. These are plays that are being done at various theaters around the country. And one of the wonderful things that Christina does is she really stays on the forefront of new material, and she selects a season in a way that really provides Vermont audiences an opportunity to see these pieces that are being done around the country.
Lots to look forward to this coming spring. My guest is Gregory Ramos, who is the director for Vermont Stage of their production on stage now through Valentine's Day of Mothers and Sons up at Flynn Space. And Gregory, in your other life, you're also the head of the theater department at UVM.
Right, I chair.
How long
the
have you been
there.
Doing that?
This is my third year.
Third year.
As chair.
And did you have teaching experience before then as well?
I did. Actually, it's a long and checkered past, but I had an academic appointment at the University of Texas at El Paso for about 5 years, from 2000 to 2005. And I took a little break I went back to the city. My husband and I went back to New York City, and I worked in theater marketing. So I was an executive, account executive on Broadway shows and did the other side, the business side of theater for a number of years. And then this opportunity came up at UVM. And I've been here for about 9 years now.
In a friendly state. We certainly love our theater. There's an awful lot of it here.
Oh, there really is.
Let me ask you something about your students. In the time that since you started teaching this stuff, what is the biggest kind of misconception young people have about theater when they come to you saying, this is what I want to do with my college experience?
Well, that is a really good question. I would say we provide them a really supportive and, I think, creative and exuberant experience in the department at UVM, because I think that's the best environment for learning, and I think my faculty colleagues would agree. You know, the truth of the matter is that the business, once folks leave, if they want to work professionally in the theater, it is a very difficult business. It's extremely competitive, and it takes a lot of fortitude and commitment. And I see the folks who graduate and go on to work professionally in the theater face some challenges. But I really think that the students that I experience in the theater department, there's always a critical mass of them that want to do everything. They design shows, they direct shows, they head student groups, they create separate, independent projects. They do honors projects. I'm really privileged to be able to work with some of the students I work with. But they are very, very active. And I think the students who choose theater as a major or even a minor tend to really get super involved, and they do it because they love it. I think it's really a profession and a major at the university that there are no ifs, ands, or buts. People are choosing that major or minor because they love the making of theater.
Vermont has an awful lot of community theater, mm-hmm. many, many little community theaters all around the state. Is that an important resource for folks that want to be part of this
world? Yeah, it is. You know, it's interesting. There's both community theater and professional theater. So, you know, you mentioned before how how alive the arts, and particularly the theater art, is here in Burlington and in the state. And we're super lucky because there are so many opportunities for students. You know, internships are a big thing now. And around this time of year, January, February, I start getting a lot of information from theaters, not only in the area, but nationally, who are saying, hey, we have this internship program. Please have your biggest and brightest students, you know, apply for these internships. And they're wonderful ways to get involved on the ground level with professional theater. But here we have, you know, Lyric is a huge community theater. We have St. Michael's Playhouse that does professional theater in the summer. Vermont Stage is a professional theater. There is those folks at Off Center out, I think it's technically Winooski or in the North End, that there's a theater space there run by Paul Schnabel and others who do some great work. What's wonderful about what Burlington and the Burlington area has to offer is that there are so many venues available where people can create their own theater. And I think that's really exciting about where we are.
It is pretty exciting. And I know that in the summertime, I live up in the Northeast Kingdom, and in the summertime, there's all kinds of stuff happening. We have a Shakespeare camp mm-hmm. where I am, get mm-hmm. thee to the punnery.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Lamoille County Players are wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Very exciting time for theater in Vermont. My guest has been Gregory Ramos, who's the director of the Vermont Stage production of Mothers and Sons, on stage at Flynn Space in Burlington now through Valentine's Day. Where can they get tickets? Where can folks
get tickets at the Flynn website, FlynnTix, and you can buy tickets at the box office at the Flynn Theater.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much for joining me this morning, and I hope you'll be back again.
Thanks very much. It was great being here.
I hope it goes well. You're listening to WDEV in Waterbury. We'll be back with more of Open Mic.
Open Mic, Hester Fuller here on WDEV FM and AM, and Hester will be back with us momentarily. Got news at the top of the hour. We have talk media news and much more of Open Mic ahead in the 10 o'clock hour here on WDEV. Outside of our studios, we're talking about it earlier, the warm conditions, a temperature of 53 degrees currently out there. It is supposed to be cloudy on the mild side today, according to our forecaster, Roger Hill. Some rain showers likely here and there. Some winds, 10, 25 miles an hour. And higher, potentially, the high around 50 degrees for tonight. Partly cloudy. Some flurries, temperatures getting down 25 to 30. Sunshine on Tuesday, temperatures in the mid-30s. But Roger says again on Wednesday in the 50s. He will join us as part of the midday news service in the 12 o'clock hour at 12:32. Right after World and National News here on WDEV. And working our way along through the 9 o'clock hour. Hester's here getting our next guests ready. We have John Gailmore. Rusty DeWeese is standing by, ready to go. And I'm going to turn things over to Hester. I guess, Hester, we got about 4 minutes till we get up to
the top of the hour.
Okay,
yep. Well, John's here, and he can help me out with this, can't you, John?
Absolutely.
Here, let's fix your mics here, too, so that we have time here. That was interesting. I don't know if you heard any of that with Greg Ramos, who's the director from Vermont Stage. Yeah, you were downstairs doing something with Jay, talking about the play and talking about chairing the theater department up at UVM. Now, both you guys know a little bit about theater.
Yeah.
That's true.
Theater. He knows more about theater.
Yes, he does know a lot about theater.
Not necessarily.
No. Really?
Theater of the absurd. Right.
Well, I've got my 10 o'clock guests have arrived early, and I'm really glad to see both John Gailmore and Rusty DeWeese. We have 4 minutes till the top of the hour news break, and then we'll get down to business. But we were just talking about Iowa here a while ago.
Must we?
No, we don't have to, but, you know.
Just kidding.
The boss man likes me to talk about things
Iowa.
That are current.
Beautiful state.
Yeah, it is a beautiful state, isn't it?
Hawkeyes. Yeah.
Talked about the cornfields and the way they can give you seizures if you're riding on a Greyhound bus through them.
Wow. I'm still wondering about a caucus. What is a caucus?
Well.
Other than streptococcus.
No, it's not the streptococcus, but okay. I do think it sounds like a pretty good time, actually. You have your supper. Mm-hmm. You go downtown to the school or wherever. You get in a big room, And it's kind of like a party game, you know. If you're for Hillary, you all crowd into one corner of the room. If you're for Bernie, you crowd into another one. If you're all for that other featured player whose name I never can remember, you go to the third corner
and
of the room.
Charades.
Mike, thank you, Martin. Martin O'Malley. Martin O'Malley, you got to get closer, Rusty. You can't even hear you.
Oh well, I'll lean in.
He's shy.
I know he's shy, but we'll work with it. Then they count you up, and if you have less than 15% of the bodies in the room are for your guy, you have to go step aside, and your guy is no longer, you know, a possible vote. Then the precinct captains for the folks who are still remaining come and besiege you and try to talk you into their guy or gal.
Sway you.
And then you split out.
Do they sway you with, and I'm being serious here, to get there in the first place with like macaroni and cheese?
I think you have to BYO.
I mean, in other words, is there some sort of payola? And I'm being...
I hear you. No, I don't think so. I think it's simply the force of argument at that point.
Wow. That'd be interesting to witness.
It would be a lot of fun, I think, to witness. There's I was just telling Kenley Dean downstairs, my boss, that there are these neat little iPhone apps you can get now and track all of this stuff. You can watch the results coming in, and I guess the campaigns have their own little apps for tracking what's going to happen and how things are shaping up and whether they need to take another truck up to such and such precinct to get the voters out.
It would be cool to have to do a documentary about it and just film the process and interview people and have a whole thing, because I bet 90% of the American people don't know what the heck a caucus is.
Well, I know. There have been some funny things that have been produced. Bernie's campaign actually did a really good video explaining how the process worked, which is why I sound so smart about it, because I watched that.
Well, I'll have to go find that so I can sound smart, too.
It's pretty good. It's only 3 minutes, and it's geared even for people like me.
Oh.
Well, you guys just keep track of that, and I'll watch air.
You'll watch air?
Okay. I'll go outside and watch air.
I think I'd rather do that during the election season.
Exactly. Pretty entertaining these days.
It can be pretty entertaining. Yes. We've got a minute to go before the top of the hour news, and it's my turn to remind our listeners that you're tuned to WDEV AM 550 in Waterbury, Vermont, 96.1. FM in Warren, Vermont, also broadcasting at 96.5 in Barrie, Vermont, and 101.9 FM in Island Pond, Vermont. We also stream worldwide at WDEVradio.com. My watch keeps switching to other apps. There we go.
I was wondering why you were looking at your watch.
Because I can't do it digitally. I can't talk to the top of the hour with a digital watch.
I thought I was telling you where you are.
Yeah, no, we got 30 seconds, and I looked. Let's watch Tom get nervous.
Is that an iPhone?
What? No, it's an Apple Watch. Yeah, it's
great. That's all right. Okay. Yeah,
and
yeah,
it keeps perfect time, so I know that I have 22
seconds. How do you
like that? I like it now an awful lot. This is I didn't know what I needed it for until I had it.
That's
kind of how Steve Jobs worked. People don't know what they want until they get it.
Cool.
Yeah, first person I know that has one.
Well, I'll tell you more. We've got 10 seconds left to go, and we're vamping like a... Streaming worldwide at WDEVradio.com. And welcome back. You're listening to Open Mic. My name is Hester Fuller. I'm here till 11 o'clock when Bill Sayers will join us for Common Sense Radio, brought to you by the Ethan L. Institute. Oop, can't say that very well. Right now, it's time to bop down to Washington, D.C., where Lori from Talk Media News is on the line. Lori, what's going on down there?
Hey, so lucky for us, today I'm actually in Iowa.
Oh, you're in Iowa?
Yeah, here for the caucuses.
Well, good for you. Now, whereabouts in Iowa? Are you in a city or are you in the countryside or where are you?
Currently in Iowa City. Okay. Going from here.
So are you out and about? Are you going to be visiting the caucus venues?
That's correct. Yeah, the caucuses don't start until 7 o'clock, and that's kind of, they start and then the doors close and then they go and then they end.
Oh, so they close everybody up in a room? I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I think you can leave the room, but once the caucuses start, nobody can actually come into the room.
Do you have to get your hand stamped? Or, I mean, how does that work?
I'm not sure. You know, I've never actually been.
Wow.
This will be my first.
I'm excited. So what's the buzz where you are?
The buzz where I am is that people are excited. I think the race is really up in the air right now, mm-hmm. and people recognize that in each campaign. And because of that, there's an air of hope and an air of excitement and, like, this extreme political engagement.
It's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Are you watching any candidate in particular, or are you just there to cover the whole?
I'm here just to get a feel of it. Yeah, just to size up how Iowa voters are feeling, how the candidates are, what sort of messaging the candidates are giving. You know, who's butting heads with who, just the whole political sphere.
Well, wow. Now, how's the weather out there today?
You know, it's nice, actually.
Nice.
It's been pretty warm here. And, I mean, I'm coming from D.C., so I consider warm the 40s normally, off the winter at least. And
we call that summer, where I am. Because we'd heard word that there might be some bad weather coming or blizzard coming or something, but that doesn't seem like it's going to shape up, huh?
Yeah, it doesn't. The forecast looks like if it does come, it's not going to hit for a couple more days, so it shouldn't affect the caucuses at least.
So people will turn out tonight. Was it 7 o'clock, 7:30?
7 o'clock Central Time.
Okay, and how soon? Do you have a sense of how soon we should start seeing results from the caucus process?
I think you should start seeing results maybe towards the, an hour or so following the caucus. At that point, you'll have a sense of who is going to, of course, take that nomination. But, I mean, like any early results, those are always in fluctuation, right?
Sure, yeah. So they don't release any results until the caucus is completely done, huh?
I think, no, I'm just thinking of, conclusive results.
Oh, okay, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
How are you planning to track the results? Do you have a special line in anywhere or an app on your iPhone or something?
No, I don't have an app on my iPhone right now. I've been really... I've been using the Des Moines Register like a native. The Des Moines Register is fabulous for the Iowa caucuses. If you're interested in which candidates are in the area, in which cities, or what sort of events are happening, all of that information is on the Des Moines Register. They created a whole registry for it.
That's pretty good.
Is
that web accessible for anybody then?
It is.
In Vermont, we in Vermont could also look. Well, now we got folks in this state who are partisans for all of the candidates, but of course we also have a local boy running out there.
You've got the Bernie.
We've got the Bernie. Have you run into any Bernie Sanders folks yet?
I have, yeah. I went to a Bernie rally last night, and they were really excited. One woman was telling me that she sees a country divided based on race, actually, and she's a white woman with biracial children, and she said that she saw Bernie as a candidate that could actually end that racial tension, or not end that racial tension, but address that racial tension and mitigate it as best as possible.
Well, that's an exciting read on Bernie, and one we hadn't heard before, so we'll see how that goes. It'd be really good.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Lori, thanks an awful lot, and enjoy your evening there in Iowa. And we'll look forward to talking to Talk Media News again next Monday.
All right, thank you.
Take care. This theme music just keeps getting better and better. I don't know what you're doing over there, but get those little guys out of the speaker there and give them some air. You are tuned to WDEV Radio. My name is Hester Fuller, and it's Open Mic on Monday. And I'm here every Monday, and I am delighted to welcome two extraordinarily good-looking men to sit in my tiny little studio with me. How lucky am I? I've got John Gailmore.
Thank God it's radio.
That's Garrison Keillor. He's the one with the face made for radio, and I love him, too. And Rusty DeWeese is also with me, and we're here partly to chat a bit about what they're up to this week. Russ, how'd it go on Saturday night? You had George Woodard in for
Wait, good. Hey,
what you got?
I got you chocolates from Laughing Moon Chocolates.
Chocolates?
They're an advertiser on the series. The series is not only about the performer.
Okay, we'll talk us about
John
that.
Gailmore would, he'll say what he wants to say, but he thinks he thinks the series is about the people who come. Those are the stars, the Winter Star Series.
Well, that's kind of like this radio program. We think this show is about the people who call in.
Right. So this Winter Star Series is just a fancy word for six acts are coming into the Stowe Town Hall all winter. I thought late last spring, early summer, I said it'd be fun to do something to that would give people in and around the area something to do in these winter nights that aren't turning out to be what I imagined winter nights
would
be.
Yeah, but you know, that means more people can come out. I don't drive when it's icy and it's dark because I don't see well enough to get home in one piece. So I'm delighted. I can't wait.
The first two weekends were the Lager and the Fellers. The first two nights, it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Pat had to put up extra chairs.
Excellent.
And then George Woodard was almost, we put up a couple of extra chairs too for him. So really good and diverse audiences. Mm-hmm. We're not looking for people say, why don't you do things like that in the fall for the... You know, you'd get more people. I said, I don't really market anything for the tourists. That isn't to say if anyone's out there listening who's visiting,
they'd be welcome.
Come. Yeah. But for sure, it's just Vermonters from up your way, as far as up your way and further. And there's a family, father, mother and a daughter who was 20, and her boyfriend from Montgomery came down here.
Wow,
George.
That's a haul.
Little kids, old kids, skinny, fat, gay, straight, whatever you want. It's at the Winter Star Series. It's not a caucus. It's a gathering.
It's a gathering.
Because the person you're coming to see will actually produce for you.
Looking
they won't
forward
be
to that.
Held underneath a piece of a train track when they get their job. No, so it's great fun. There's also a bar there, Caledonia Spirits from Hardwick. I say, if you're going to drink a spirit, do you want it made in a fancy gold town like Shelburne or Norwich? You want it made in Hardwick.
Absolutely.
So they're there, and people are enjoying having a little sippy.
I bet they are. That's
so,
good. Right there in the town hall?
Stowe Town Hall.
And my music's going to sound a lot better.
We'll keep that in mind.
Well, jokes are funnier. Jokes are funnier.
Totally funny.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah, John's going to be there this Saturday night, right? What time is it? 7:30?
Correct, 7:30. Yeah.
And I read your promo stuff. Actually, I read what Rusty wrote. It sounds like you're promising us a vaguely grown-up evening.
As grown-up as I get.
Yeah, the promo screwed it up and mentioned it being vaguely adult. And
vaguely adult, yeah. Well, you know, I've been known as a kids performer, pigeonholed. Easy to get pigeonholed in this state.
When you do something for 30 years, you know.
That's right. But I do sing and started out singing just for grown-ups. And that evolved.
Back when you were not a grown-up.
When I was never a grown-up. Never will be.
Never will be.
But the thing that got me started with kids was that one night at Top Notch in Stowe, I was being myself, really immature, and a woman brought me to her table and said, would you ever consider singing for kids? And I said, okay, I'll try that. She organized a Saturday morning get-together on her screen porch with kids.
Awesome.
And it felt right. And so that's how that whole thing started with performances and evolved into songwriting, because kids do it every day in the sandbox and on the swing set. And I said, let me figure out a way to take this instinctive activity and make it into viable songs, help them do it.
That sounds terrific. And it's also a way for you to be an artist and not have to take a job as a barista someplace.
Correct. Well, it's a way to get up every morning glad I'm alive and glad that I love my job. But Saturday night is going to be as eclectic as it gets. If I have to look at the audience. That's how I do every concert. See who's there.
So you've got a big advantage over me. You can actually see your audience.
Right.
I kind of can't. I just have to.
That's why you need phone calls.
I know phone calls. Let's give them the phone number, shall we? Let's tell them. You got questions for Rusty or questions for John? Give us a call 244-1777 or toll free 877-291-8255. This is Open Mic. I'm Hester Fuller, sitting here with John Gilmore and Rusty DeWeese, talking about the Winter Stars series that Rusty got going. That's happening up in Stowe now through the town meeting day.
March 5th.
So pretty much the whole.
Every weekend till March 5th. John's a one night Saturday. Yeah, next after. Well, I don't want to talk about what's after John.
Two nights in one.
There you go. John Gilmore, you're a one night stand. There we go.
So many people have.
Not the first time.
The people who have heard John and are John fans, they'll come out to. they'll come out to see him. But I say that if you have heard of John Gilmore and you've never heard him or seen him, I hired him for this. This is my living. So I don't really have to say that I think he's absolutely fantastic.
Taking a chance, Russ.
But I'll say he's absolutely fantastic. I told the last two, the audiences for George, Friday and Saturday night, I said, you're going to leave the town hall, and this is cliche marketing to say, kind of like, but floating on air. And I wouldn't say that if I didn't really believe it.
You know,
and
you do
who
a lot.
Doesn't want to float on air? I'm not being funny.
I hear you.
Who doesn't want to be floating on air in life? And John, but he does it effortlessly. That's his job. He can call it a job, but he'll do it effortlessly.
It's wonderful to watch John. It's a very warm and inclusive kind of an experience.
Don't say fuzzy.
I won't say fuzzy.
He's not fuzzy.
Clean shaven. John Gilmore performing this Saturday night. Rusty, I have to say, I'm really impressed with your mastery of the social media. You have done a really amazing job. Every time I turn around on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, it seems like you're up there with something.
Well, thank you. I'm not a master. What I am is I have a discipline. So in other words, when I got here to the studio this morning at 10:15, I sat out in front of Ruel and Stowe Street Emporium, who are co-producers of the Stowe Winter series, and I put on. I have two Facebook pages, a personal page that only allows you 5,000, and a public figure page that I put on, then I'm going to be on your show with John Gaylor.
Thank you very
part
much.
Of the Winter Star series. So it doesn't, you don't have to be a genius, but you have, you want to be, if you're trying to sell whatever you're selling, I don't, you know, you have to be these days, my opinion, everywhere. There's effluvia.
Effluvia.
Whoa, whoa.
Of, there's a 75-cent word.
Of just everything out. Out
is that like caucus?
Out there. No, no. That caucus is what you do in your shower down the edges so it don't leak.
That's right.
You, so you, I, so how do you buck up against so many things? When I first started back in the day, the logger, 20 years ago, and I was putting posters up in through the towns, which I still do myself. Mm-hmm. I do hire Bill Orleans at PP&D to put them up in the big areas. I can't do it all. It was my poster. Maybe John Gilmore's poster, but then the guy selling wood and a woman that would sew.
And the now lost the dog.
And the lost dog. Now the poster boards. I love it. Bring it, bring it, bring it. They're packed full of everything, but beside the fact that you can just make them at your house now. So how you go through that, you have to do everything. And that keeps you busy. It also keeps me fully employed.
I think that that's a really good lesson for anyone who wants to get the word out. I think the thing has always been you've got to put your message where the people are that are going to see it, and now a lot of them are on social media. A lot of those,
and that's always been my least favorite part of what I do.
Really,
I am so naive, and I just self promotion has never been. I've just the other day I said, you know, I better start doing that. I've only been doing it for 45 years, and I say, you know, I probably ought to promote myself.
Yeah, well,
make some calls, do something. So thank God for Rusty, who's a master of that. I just want to go sing to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that make me a flower child of some kind. I just want to sing. I want to, come on, let's just sing together.
Well, all of us want to get up in the morning and really want to do whatever it is we're going to do. And kind of, you don't, things pick me. I don't pick things, you know.
I think I'm fortunate that the performing and the writing and all that, I love that. But as much as that, I do love the producing side of it. I remember when I did Judavine years ago, yeah. David Budbill's Judavine. Oh, I was 26. Oh, what a great play that was, and what a great thing. And that was back in the day. If something hit, Judavine hit. It was the one thing that hit. So it lasted for a long time, like John O'Brien's Man with a Plan. The Logger went for it. But anyway, I remember before the show, the kids that had gone to college to learn to act, they'd be warming up their voices and stuff, and I'd be looking through the window to see how many cars were pulling in. So I said, we put in this much work, I want to see some people watching this. So that's continued throughout my life. I like both sides of it.
What's been the hardest part about doing that? I mean, is it changing tastes, or is it, you know, just the availability of things or the cost of things? I mean, what's been the hardest part of like cobbling together this?
Well, I don't say it's hard.
Oh, okay.
I don't say it's hard. It's I work hard at it.
You work hard at it.
So there hasn't been anything hard. Right. You, because everything evolves. I did the Logger Christmas variety shows. Now what? I can't be doing those shows all the time, so I'll hire other people to come in. So you just keep going. I'll tell you what you got to do. You got to keep moving. You keep moving. So Friday was a show. Saturday was a show for me. Sunday, I tidied up the theater. Monday morning, I'm right here right now. Boom, I go home. I got to put all the ads to the Hardwick Gazette, to the Barton Chronicle, blah, blah, blah. So it's constant.
Mm-hmm. You know. And when it stops, when you get, do you ever give yourself a break?
Yeah. Summers, there's times when I'm walking around looking at birds and stuff, and real working people are working.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm feeling like I'm the luckiest girl I know for that, too, because I can come in here and do what I really love. And I go from here and do another thing I really love, and then I can go home and my time is my own.
Yeah, no, and the same is for me. And I, when I'm not working, there are a lot of birds around my house, and I've recently, in the last couple of years, got really interested in birds.
Mm-hmm.
It's the winter wren's fault, because one morning at 4:30 a.m., I was awakened by the sound I had never heard before in 30 years of living in my house. And I was enthralled. And so the next morning, I set my alarm, got my CD recorder out there, and recorded this wondrous bird. Didn't know what it was. And I sent MP3s to my wife's brother, who's a bird guy in Oregon, and Brian Pfeiffer in Montpelier.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what is this? And they both answered within a half an hour, winter wren.
Oh,
and
neat.
So there will be a song soon about the winter wren, because it has changed my life.
And what does it look like?
It's the smallest bird in the woods. Softwoods, loves softwoods. And it's about hummingbird size. And if you go to YouTube and just search on winter wren, there's a beautiful sight. Mm-hmm. Cornell Ornithology has a wonderful bird site, but there's a picture of this little, tiny little bird just proudly. Doesn't have to warm up or anything.
The song bigger than his body.
First, it sees how many people are watching, and then and it thrusts out its chest.
Who wants to thrust for hardly any people?
That's right.
You want a lot of people.
You don't want to just thrust by yourself. So
I've done that.
Me too. It's not nearly as satisfying. So anyway, these birds, this little person, and it's a guy. The guys are the singers, and usually the most beautiful birds too. I'm sorry. Esther, but
I'm not a bit sorry.
Okay. Sure, this little thing thrusts out and sings this three-pronged call. It's got three different things. There's a trill in the middle, mm-hmm. and there's a twitter and a tweet and a trill and oh my God, it's gorgeous. It's about 5 seconds long. And then it takes a break, has some water, goes out and greets the people, comes back, and here
signs
you go.
A few albums.
Here's another one. Yeah. That's right. Signs some CDs and then comes back. Oh my God, the winter end. And
Second show.
Fabulous.
Anyway, you did say Twitter and tweet, right?
Twitter and
yes,
tweet.
You did.
Yeah.
So master
in an ornithological sense.
Yeah. Sounds pretty amazing. I just got back from a wonderful trip to Sanibel Island in Florida, which is my second favorite place on the planet after where I live.
Craftsbury,
Vermont. And I saw the most insanely amazing birds down there. And they didn't know quite what to make of me either. I liked it when I'm down around wildlife. I get right down there and I sit very still, mm-hmm. and after a while they decide I'm not a big threat and they come up to me, and I got some really wonderful, wonderful photographs of a snowy egret, which has great long legs with big yellow feet. He's the funniest looking thing you ever saw. And then I had a seagull that kept coming around. He just like, pretty sure there was something in my coffee cup that was actually meant for him, so he came looking, and then I was out with my paint box a little bit later and he was like going around looking at the colors, and it was great. And then, but when you talk about the winter wren, the little tiny one, that was the thing that just slayed me. Every morning I'd go out in the morning and the sandpipers and the willets and these teensy little like plover type birds would go out. And the sandpipers run around. The willets are a little bigger. They run around. And then these little tiny guys, their legs are in like overdrive, a million miles an hour. And they're like knee high to the willets. And so you have this level of birds with their noses all down in the sand drilling for a little whatever it is they find down there. And then you've got this little story of little creatures dashing around underneath. I could have watched that for an hour.
And they get along.
They all get along. Yep. They don't step on each other neither.
No.
It's amazing.
It's birds. I mean,
they're incredible.
It's a new discovery for me.
Well,
that's
good. Cool. Better late than never. It's terrific. Yep. I'm Hester Fuller. We're talking with John Gilmore and Rusty DeWeese this morning, and you are listening to Open Mic. If you've got a question, give us a call at 244-1777 or toll free 877-291-8255. I'm looking at my.
I like birds
producer.
Too.
You like birds too?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Hey, look at that bird over there, Sammy. Yeah, I like that bird.
Yeah.
Chick. It's kind of funny when you think about it. Yeah. Birds. Hey, look at that
That's
bird.
Right.
It is a little strange. I don't know why that is. Why isn't there something like that for guys? I mean, why don't we call.
Hunk. No.
That's not a bird.
I like bloke myself.
I like
the English
bloke.
Version.
Yeah, that's good too.
My dad used to call the guys ace. Like when it was Guy Waiter would come over.
Or
hey, Ace, how you doing?
In Boston, it's Sayla. Hey, Sayla.
But that's what women say, right?
No, that's what guys say, too.
Okay.
Watch out, Sayla. Yeah, that's the kind of thing that we hear down there. I think we probably have some business to do. Do we not? No, we don't.
Nah,
Tom's just shrugging his shoulders.
I got an answer for you. What's hard about marketing.
Yeah.
It's not hard, but I think you get it into your head. Since everyone is out there, since anybody can just do a little, I'll do iPhone video of myself. I should have done it with you the other night when we were practicing. Then you put it on there. Well, you want it. It's best if it's a little bit interesting.
It doesn't you think?
Yeah,
that would help. Yeah.
But how do you do that? How do you do that? So how do you make your iPhone video in among all the effluvia of iPhone? Right. How do you make yours stick out so that people will say, "Well, what are we doing tonight? Well, let's go to the Roxy." No, John Gilmore. Is going to sing a new song about, let's go to him because I saw him on the iPhone. Or the Rusty DeWeese, he lives right up by my cousin.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get worried about really making these things masterpieces because basically it doesn't take much for anything to be interesting. Basically everything, I believe everything is interesting. But how does your thing stick? How does a winter series stick out a bit? You're going to get your group anyway, but to make profit, you have to get your group and then maybe a little more.
Yeah.
A little more is the profit. So you have to make everything. There's so much out there that nothing sticks out.
Well, when you're telling that story, I'm thinking of the little thing that you popped up right before Christmas about the child-friendly service up in Morrisville, unlike that tawdry thing down there running up in Stowe.
Oh, right. Child-friendly Christmas Eve service.
At Puffer Church. So Rusty, the whole long thing about.
Or Hanukkah starts here at the CVS.
Yes, I saw that one, too. I love that one. Hey, we got a caller here. Andrew from Hinesburg, you're on the air with Rusty and John, and Rusty's got no headphones on, and neither does John, so they can't hear you. So
there you go.
Let's go ahead. Andrew, you there?
Yes. So I just tuned in the past few minutes. I was wondering if you happen to have a guitar there, could we hear a song?
Do we have a guitar?
Well, it's not in this room. I could easily get it.
Okay.
I would need a few minutes.
Okay, but
that'd be great. Maybe for us to could add some harmonies. I'm all ears.
You know, perfect.
He is from Hinesburg.
I used to do the WDEV Highway Chorus where I would assign parts and then put on, you know, Neil Sedaka or some song that everybody knows and have everybody sing.
Yeah, that's right. Breaking up is hard to do.
That was a winner for me on this show.
Do 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 dam do be do. Yeah,
that's good. Well, John, I don't know if you feel like doing that, but maybe we could. Andrew, you got any questions for them while we? Because we got a vamp here. If you want John to go get his guitar, we have to vamp here a little. Okay, Rusty's going to get the guitar. You're leaving us? Oop, I guess he's gone. So we're just going to have to...
Andrew left?
Andrew left, okay. Yeah. All he wanted to do was get us going. Oh, right. But now we got Skip and Crasberry. I know who this is. Hi, Skip Sidor. How are you?
Hi, Esther. I'm sorry to call. I didn't want to call because we're neighbors, kind of. But I have a little story about each of these men.
Oh, let's hear them.
Oh, my God.
Oh, good.
I don't think... I know both of them, was in the same room with both of them, and they don't know me. Years ago, I was asked by the warden of the woman's prison, who happened to be a friend of mine, if I would play the banjo with him one night to entertain the women.
With who? With Rusty or with John?
No, with...
Oh, with the warden, okay.
Of the prison, a fellow by the name of Mike Belizzi.
Hang on, hey, Russ, sit down. This guy met you at the women's prison.
Oh, he did?
Okay, so...
An inmate?
Approximately when was that?
Approximately 4 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so CCCC?
Maybe a little longer.
Chittenden County Correctional Center?
No. Waterbury Women's Prison.
Oh, yeah. I remember that gig.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you had two other fellas playing with you.
Yep.
You disappeared, and they chatted with us, and then we said, well, we're going to go out and open up, and we had no idea we were opening for Rusty DeWeese. So that was a thrill for us. We played the Women's Prison, had a good time. As far as John Gilmore... Dave Rowell came over and took me up to the music box here in Crasberry one night. And Dave played, and he sang, and he was so funny that it just struck me so funny. I laughed all night long. Finally, he looked out in the audience and said, I want to take you on tour with me.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people had that reaction to John.
And that's the only thing I have about either of the men, but they were both very, very good.
Well, I love making people laugh. I mean... And that had started when I was a year and a half old, Andrew. And
this is Skip.
Skip, sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
My mother used to feed me my Gerber's baby food. I think it was the apricots were my favorite.
Okay.
And so every time she put it in my mouth, I would go, good, 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 good. And she cracked up just like you're doing.
Sure.
And everybody around who heard it would crack up. And guess what? I did it again. Good, good, good. Just to see them laugh.
Yeah, well,
and there is something about making people laugh.
Tell me about it. I'm a cartoonist. I love it.
Yes,
well,
he does.
Well, great. And when does our tour start, Skip?
Yeah. Well, we're getting the bus ready now.
All right. Rev it up.
Okay. You take care. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling, Skip. That's great. So John's now got his git fiddle here. What you got for us?
Git fiddle. It's Tennessee Ernie Ford used to call it that.
don't let on how old I am.
Well, you could be my granddaughter. Okay. Well, here's a tune. You know, I do spend a lot of time with kids, and kids often call each other names if somebody's a little different from the next one. And I can't write a song without a message in it. I've tried to be totally frivolous, and it's really hard for me. My father taught me how to do that. He taught me that it's noble to offend the right people. And but this one, I don't think offends anybody, but I want to write a song that really says it's dumb to call people names. And the first version went, it's dumb to call people names. But then I realized it's just the country western stations would pick it up. So I decided to make a little more intelligent and make a song about the famous geeks and nerds and dorks and dweebs in our history. And it's called Geek Mythology. And this is, that's an example of how a title for a song can come from a conversation. Mm-hmm. Having us talking, boy, those chocolates look good, Hester.
They really are good. Thanks so much.
So it was, we're talking about education with a friend of mine who's a teacher in Virgins, and she said, she was talking about Greek mythology, but she said geek mythology. Slip of the tongue, I said, whoop, hold it.
Right.
I got to write that. Way back whenever, when the world was new, there wasn't me, not even you. Wacky looking woolly things wandered and flew, some even swam. Out in the garden there was Adam and Eve, and what she wore you wouldn't believe. He put on a fig leaf and she called him a dweeb. It all began. One girl's geekus, another one's goddess. This boy's dorkus, that one's dude. We're all partner, dweeb, dink, and Adonis. Time to change my mind and my attitude. Adonis is a handsome Greek god, by the way, for those of you.
Thanks.
Then came a carpenter with long hair and beard. Wailing words were cherished and cheered. He made a little mischief that a few folks feared. They screamed and swore. Our country's daddy had some teeth made of wood. Man, he could chew like nobody could. On the other side, they called him nerd and no good. He won the war. One girl's geek is another one's goddess. This boy's dork is that one's dude. We're all partner, dweeb, dink, and Adonis. Time to change my mind and my attitude.
Thank you very much.
I knew a lady playing chess in New York. We had a nickname, the Duchess of Dork. She beat them all in saddle shoes from Cairo to Cork. Checkmate. Historic heroes you'd best not ignore. They're all the champions you've got to root for. It's not too late. One girl's geek is another one's goddess. This boy's dork is that one's dude. We're all partner, dweeb, dink, and Adonis. Time to change my mind and my attitude. One girl's geek is another one's goddess. This boy's dork is that one's dude. We're all partner, dweeb, dink, and Adonis. Time to change my mind and my attitude. Time to change my mind and my attitude. Time to change my mind and my attitude.
Wonderful. And I wish you'd given me a little bit more cue so I didn't take a bite of that caramel just as you rounded into the
Right.
Very, very good.
Nice. Keep it on.
Keep it on.
Yeah.
That's good.
You want to keep it on or I can put it away?
Oh, I'll keep it on.
You'll keep it on. That sounds good.
Yeah, I was going to say.
There you go.
Better with
here, these things are falling apart. Yeah. Well, there you go. Gracious. So is this a taste of the kind of vaguely grown up evening we can look forward to on Saturday?
Taste, anything is a taste of what's going to happen Saturday night because I often don't know what I'm going to sing. Although, as I said before, I will look at the audience and psychoanalyze them collectively and see what they might like. And people will call out things. I'll encourage them within reason. And if I know the song, I'll do it. And if I don't feel like doing it, I won't. And I'll say that.
That'll be good. Rusty, how do people get tickets for this gig?
Oh, yeah. TheLogger.com to do PayPal. A number, 888-8838. To reserve and then pay at the door. Shaw's General Store, right across from the Stowe Town Hall. Now, one big thing, I'm glad you had John, this man asked John to play, because you're watching him play. And one thing I've always thought of, tried to do with my show and create, I shouldn't have said that. If I'm at the Flynn or something, you have to use a mic. You know, you have to be mic'd because there could be some hard of hearing people in the back. But we're going with we don't plug in at the Stowe Town Hall. That place was built for people to use their voices. And what even when I'm directing people or somebody on stage, I say, stand up close to the stage. The audience wants to smell you. Mm-hmm. They want to see the veins in your neck. They want to see your fingers. Now, at this Stowe Town Hall, John, George, myself, and the acts after, we're not plugging in. And you get to sit 3 feet away from this guy and watch him play, and it's fascinating to see fingers. You don't always, you're not able to see that great in a lot of the halls.
That's true, because you're a mile and a half away.
Yeah, so that's another
thing.
It looks
like an M&M.
You get here, you'll feel it, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you know it goes both ways, because I have sung, and I'm sure Rusty has performed in places where thousands of people are there, and there's a big spotlight, and you can't see anybody. And it's okay. You get used to it, and you can deal with it. But I love seeing people.
Talk to me about that, because you hear that all the time. Performers feed off the energy of the audience. What does that look like? Like, I'm a concrete thinker. Help me understand that.
Well, for me, it's you're developing a relationship and a rapport with the audience, and that is an essential part of what I do. And I've seen Rusty perform a lot, and the same thing. You feed off them. It's a real symbiotic event. You're feeding off each other. They're entertaining you as much as you are them. They will determine the tenor of the show, the nature of it, the texture of it, and the whole evening for me is a conversation. Mm-hmm. It's a musical conversation, and we end up best friends. And it's just, boy, that is just best therapy there is. I don't know how the audience feels, but for me, it saves a lot of money. And it's the best thing I can imagine doing ever.
You add to that, Russ?
Oh, no, I won't add to that because no need to. But I will say that the performer in the Winter Star series, John tonight, George last week, myself and Patrick Ross and the people to come, they have a leg up, because in our shows, John won't be backstage when you're arriving, limbering up his voice or concentrating or looking through notes and his G, C minor. He's going to be greeting you. So in his, now he's going to get a leg up. Because
intermission, too.
And intermission, yes, and after. And he's going to see something or talk to you, and he'll find out something about you that might come out on stage. That's not to get anybody scared that he's going to, because he'll read that you don't want to be talked about. But it's you're coming to John's living room. What they used to call it? Kitchen tonks.
Kitchen tonks, yeah. Sit around. Great Vermont tradition.
Play,
love
the
that.
Aunt would play the fiddle. So that's how we're trying to create here. And first two weekends we've created it, and we will with John.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it, and I think a lot of our listeners would be too. The Winter Stars series continuing now through the 5th of March at the Stowe Town Hall. And tickets, as Rusty said, are available. You can get them at Shaw's General Store if you need a little something to hang on to. Or you can call, what's that number again?
888-8838. And there's tickets on thelogger.com. But there's also more information on thelogger.com.
That's true.
Or you can call me, 793-1901. Call my cell phone. Or stop me on the street.
There you go.
I got to say something totally logistical, which is that we get a lot of calls at our house. We have an 888 number. A lot of people call thinking it's toll free, so don't dial 1-888.
Do they get their money's worth?
Totally, absolutely. But do not dial 1-888. Just dial, if you're out of town, 802-888.
8838. Yeah, it's not 888-883. It's 802-888-8838. Yeah.
There you go. Or you can just go on the web. Unless you have an iPad. What's the deal with that? I went up on the iPad to try and reserve myself some seats on logger.com.
I'll have to look.
But if you're on a cell phone, you don't need the area code if you're in Vermont. So just do 888-8838.
Yeah.
There you go.
Sunzig. Anyway.
Operators are standing by. If you call in the next 5 minutes, we'll throw in a Ronco glass cutter, a Vegematic, and some Jinzu knives.
Looking forward to that.
At Aubuchon Hardware, another
program. Should we just kind of like cut to the chase? You want to tick them
no,
off?
No, yeah,
that's fine
no.
With
need,
me.
No need to do that. But
well, listen, we did it last week for the folks who sponsored the lady who went to the Greek Transit Camp. So we can certainly do it for you guys. You
Greek Transit Camp?
Yeah, Katina Cummings, who lives in Waterbury Center. She went and worked at the Greek Transit Camp for the Syrian refugees coming off the
boat.
What
a great thing! Yeah.
It was an amazing. Her story was just amazing. And what she did was, last fall, she just kind of made up her mind to cast herself out on the universe, and the universe caught her, and this is what she ended up doing. And she got she went around, got a bunch of businesses around the Waterbury area with a GoFundMe.com campaign, raised enough money to go over there, worked there for 4 weeks, volunteering with the various refugee care groups, receiving people as they came in on these inner tubes, basically, and providing food and clothing and warmth.
Great stuff.
Yeah, it was a very powerful experience for her, and she shared it with us here a week ago.
And speaking of Aubuchons, if you want to see the most beautiful, I'm hanging on to this, Aubuchons in Morrisville, the most beautiful and largest and friendliest dogs you'll ever see. There are four now.
There are four?
Yeah.
Are you sure it's not just two?
There's a list. He has a card of when each pair of dogs will appear at Aubuchons. They're there.
Troy.
They're greeters. Troy, yeah.
They are fabulous.
They're beautiful and lovely dogs. And that's a reason to go, besides it's a great place.
Well,
Grizz and Diesel. I don't know the other two's names.
What's the first one? Diesel, I remember. What's the other one's name?
Grizz
and Diesel. Yeah, I go there, and you know, I might buy something just to kill time while I'm waiting to pat the dog. You know, so it's a great,
absolutely.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's wonderful to see him there. How do you guys keep this together? It's hard to do what you do in Vermont, isn't it? It's hard to make a life out of all this.
Well, especially being a non-promoter. yeah, I mean, in terms of arts for education, don't get me started, but you have already.
yeah, I did kind of invite you to.
I know. I have to travel more than I used to, out of state.
Really?
And fill in other ways, subbing in schools and giving
you sub
lessons.
In schools?
Oh, yeah.
You must be the coolest substitute ever.
Well, I don't know how the kids feel, but I love doing it.
And what do you teach?
I teach anything under the sun, whatever I'm hired to do. Jerry and Lamoille Union will call me at 6:30 and say, can you come in and sub for the art teacher today? I've subbed for the dance teacher, which is...
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed
not
that.
Not a pretty sight, but... I've subbed for anything, and preschool, you know, prenatal through prehistoric, just like my audiences. And it doesn't matter to me. I just love being around kids, and more, you know, mostly I follow lesson plans, which is what I have to do. But then I tend to veer off them sometimes.
Do you?
And I'll bring my guitar and just go into song, sing the kids a song, which is unexpected. So I just being around kids. But I have to fill in that way, which is okay. I would love to be doing songwriting with kids and performances, and that's it. But reality is reality. Money is in other places now.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard all over. Rusty, how do you do it? I mean, you perform all over. You've been in movies. You've been in theater. You've done all kinds of stuff.
So. Well, that could be a long story. Maybe I'll come on.
I'd love that. That'd be really good.
Yeah. But sort of a diversified, you know, and it's a step by step story process. Yeah. You can't just say, you know, I've been fortunate. So,
yeah.
But again, this Stowtown Hall thing, the Winter Star series. There's going to be, so we did 11 shows. We've done four. That's seven.
So there's seven left.
The three. Okay. Yep. Seven left. And
when liberal arts people do math.
Right. And it's the beautiful wood floor, and it's the big windows. Now, you heard John's voice on the radio.
Now, this is just to be straight here. This is the Akeley building, right? The memorial
the
building.
The Akeley, right right in the center of town. And we went up there, me and the logger and the fellers, my fellers, Peter Wilder on the guitar and Patrick Ross on the fiddle. And we were starting to rehearse, and we say, boy, it sounds a little dead in here of what I was imagining. Might have to plug in. So then Peter Wilder and Patrick Ross, they know a lot more. Like they're like John. They know a lot more about sound and stuff musically. They said, well, let's open those big curtains. And I'm like, that's what I want anyway, because I want people to come into the town hall. If you come into the town hall in Stowtown Hall, you look to the right, there's the cemetery. There's the West Branch River there. And actually, you can see where my mom lives.
That's neat.
And then on the left is the village. And the lights out there, so you're in the village. You're part of the village when you're seeing John and hearing John. And then there's your friend. There's the one percenter who lives up on the hill in the Robinson Springs house. Oh, he's a one percenter. He and they got a fancy car, and their kid goes to fancy school. So what? Guess what? Well, that person's right in there, and I don't judge any. That person's right in the theater watching John, and next to that person is the person that bags his groceries at the local joint, and they're having a good old time. Together, and that's what it is. There's no politics here.
Nope.
You know, I don't know if John wants to include that in his show. That's fine. But what I mean to say is, in the audience, we're all just one, which is the way. That's what we're trying to create here.
No, I think that's great, and it reminds me of the way it used to be. You know, when we made our own fun because we didn't have access to lots of other stuff. Now with the internet, it's really tempting for folks to kind of turn away and watch their Netflix or whatever on their little tablets.
Yeah, and there, you know, Rusty alluded to it. I'm sick of politics. And I come from a very political family, so I love it when I'm in the throes of it. But Saturday night, there will be no politics. There will be songs, and there will be messages in songs, but not about politics. Mm-hmm. It'll be about human relationships, and it'll be about laughter. There'll be a lot of laughter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if you don't like laughter, stay away.
Yeah, don't forget, he's the song master and the songwriter master and an unbelievable voice, one of a kind, actually, in America. But he's funnier than heck.
He is funnier than heck.
And fast and quick.
Mm-hmm.
Even when we're just hanging out, like doing lunches and then getting together, he's making me laugh, man.
Well, and making Rusty Deweese laugh is one of the highlights of my life.
I can imagine that's extremely gratifying.
It is incredibly gratifying.
Yeah, you get a good belly laugh, Russ, you do.
Boy, it's a great thing. And I love making people laugh. So laughter is an integral part of what I do. It's moving people. It's touching people. I want to see... As you know, I might sing a song or two that make eyes glisten, and people and belly laugh and everything in between. I just want to tap into everything human.
Talking with John Gailmore and Russ Deweese here on WDEV Open Mic Program, talking about the Winter Stars series, which continues at Stowtown Hall through the 5th of March. Tickets are still available for John's performance this Saturday night. Russell, who else is coming in?
Well, after John, you got Patrick Ross, who's a fiddle player. He's born in Canaan. One of the fellers. He lives in Newbury. And he's bringing a one-man show in. What does a fiddle player do when he brings a one-man show in? Like John, he'll be a little funny, but he gives you he brings 13 instruments and plays them all. And he's young, 33, and he's unbelievable. Unbelievably great. He's not unbelievable. I do believe that he is. So, but then after that, there's a new comedy club in Burlington. That's a block down from the Flynn Theater. Mm-hmm. As my dad used to say, right under where Hunt's used to be.
I remember that. That was a great little
club. Yeah. There's a hotel there, the Hilton Garden. Under there, you got to go to the Vermont Comedy Club. It's a sweet joint. And young married couple, 34 years old. They're from Linden. They opened it up. They did it the real way. I'm an investor, part owner of that. Well, we're bringing over 3 stand-up comics for the first act of the show at the Winter Star Series, the 20th of... February, and then there's going to be an intermission, and then there's going to be improv. You people like improv on TV? So right in the Village of Stowe, 3 stand-up comedians and improv, and then there's going to be Jim Douglas, and that actually isn't going to be a political evening.
Talk about that one. That's one that really caught my eye. I think Jim Douglas has one of the most underappreciated senses of humor in the state
huge.
Of Vermont.
Dry wit.
Wonderful.
Funny guy, dry wit, and just going to talk about John's going to talk about his life and his thoughts and everything through song. And jokes, and I'm going to interview Jim Douglas about his life in the first act, okay? And he's got that book, and then intermission. In the second act, he and I are going to create a Vermont history quiz, and that we're going to give to the audience, and some people are going to come up on stage, and they're going to. So you might learn a little bit about history. You know, Jim Douglas is a coffee freak.
Oh yeah.
So I came up with an idea to get another advertiser, and I said, "Hey, I won't talk about that part, but I'm going to have a." Should I say this? I'm not going to say this. I'm not going to say this. It's a surprise.
Oh, it's going to be a surprise. Okay, well, I don't want you to blow any.
And then the logger and the fellers come back the 4th or 5th of March. So the idea is to you all come to John's show. Mm-hmm. And then you're excited about that. You say, maybe we'll see another one of these shows. And there are people who came to the Logger and the Fellers and George Woodard last weekend who are going to come to John's show because I promoted him there. So it's working.
I think it's a great idea. I really appreciate it.
Jim Douglas, as most people know, is also the moderator of Middlebury. Town meeting.
That's
and so
true.
I'm the moderator of Elmore, so whenever we get together we compare notes.
You have moderator jokes.
So what have they said to you, Jim? Have they run you out of town just like they But it's so we both go to the moderator's tune up session in Montpelier.
Oh, I didn't know they had such a thing.
Every
what
day.
Is that?
It's this coming Wednesday actually at the Capitol Plaza.
It's to remind you of like how you're supposed
refresh
to
refresh our memories and
about Robert's
how
rules
to do
or
it.
What?
Oh, Robert's rules and what do you do if somebody says this to you? How many times can somebody speak on one issue? Moderators get together. Every moderator in Vermont comes, and a lot of select board people. And you get together, and you have workshops, and great food, and conversation,
and
touch
war
space.
Stories. I bet the stories.
Oh
are
my
great.
God! Yes.
Oh, that's
Do they ask you or have they? I'm sure. To sing the town meeting song at that.
I did that once. Yeah, when I first wrote it, they had me come and sing it, and. But I don't, you know, it's not about me. It's like people in Elmore.
No, but
it's something you bring to the table.
I do. It's a big table, and there are a lot of people around it, and I'm just one of them. But in Elmore, I've been asked, can you sing the town meeting song at the beginning of every meeting? Well, no, I'm not going to do that, because that focuses the attention on me.
I see.
It's about the town.
Yeah.
It's about
it really is.
The power of the people as a group.
And actually, a little bit of a tie-in here. The Stowe Town Hall, when I was growing up, is where they had town meeting. I say it, it's a joking thing, but I remember as a little dinky kid there, 7 years old, 8 years old, walking. I don't know if it was actually walking by the town hall on the sidewalk, or maybe I was actually in there, and you could smell that shepherd's pie that the gals had made and the guys had made. I don't like to be gender specific on people who can make things, but this is where the town hall was. So you have a town moderator singing in the old town hall where they used to have the town meeting, and it's, you know, life is a thing. And you just got to do your thing. Mm-hmm. And if you're not doing it, there's reasons why. Maybe you can seek help or something, or find your way. But Saturday night is part of that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you want it to be. And there's a chance to make it, to include the Stowe Town Hall and John Gilmore as part of your thing.
It really does sound like a great, great evening. In
and I have never set foot in the Stowe Town
That's
Hall, let alone sing it.
Awesome.
So it's
another thing.
Well, that'll be two of us then.
I can't wait. I'm really excited. I'm really incredibly excited about the night, being with Rusty, and singing in a new place that's really intimate.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like it is. It's going to be like a living room.
You got me nervous. Now I got to deliver an audience here. Together we have to deliver an audience. I will warn people. If you come and you have trouble walking, there's some steps. There ain't a ton of steps, but maybe you 97 or something, or maybe
I'll help
disabled.
You get in.
Well,
John will carry you up the steps. Well,
John literally will. He will, and I ride with the people. But anyway, if you gotta take the elevator, I gotta warn you. Come like really early. Show's at 7:30. Come at 5 because that's the slowest gal there now.
Oh my
so
god!
You gotta.
We had an elevator where I was in school. There was an elevator that was so damn slow it had a schedule, it had a timetable inside it. Like what time it was going to arrive at the different
really?
Floors? Yeah, really.
Anyway, that's kind of a joke. But.
Well, now forewarned is forearmed. You don't want to come up there and miss the show because you're still climbing up to the.
One more thing.
Okay.
You got these Apple phone watches and you got your Apple iPhone. And you're hearing about what the weather's going to be. This blizzard here that ain't happening in Iowa is an example. If for some reason it sounds like there's going to be snow Saturday, don't worry about it.
You can do it anyway.
Well, we're going to do it anyway, but don't you worry about getting there. This is Vermont. It's now this hyper apocalyptic thing when it's going to snow 2 inches now, as far as the media. And I think it does affect some people.
Yeah, I think it does.
It'll be if it's 5 o'clock and it's snowing, they'll say, oh, we can make it down there. But I'm talking about like tomorrow, if the weather says, it's supposed to be maybe up to 4 inches of snow Saturday. Don't be going, oh, we can't move around Saturday. You remember where you live.
Yeah, that's
Don't
right.
let all this weird vibe come.
And we have the best road crews in the country in this
we
state.
We sure do. Well, we have the best one in Craftsbury. I mean,
yeah.
The rest of you have good ones, but we have the best
well,
one.
Well, you could. Did they win the thing down in Barrie when they have the competition?
They don't. They retired the trophy.
Oh, they did?
No, Craftsbury's
road
crew.
Yeah, we all brag about our road crews. It's true, though.
It is true. It's really true. I tried to throw them a party. What was it, last winter? No, two winters ago. It was so awful. It just snowed and snowed and snowed and snowed. It was ridiculous. I tried to get on Front Porch Forum, get a gang together to throw a party for these guys, and the fellow who shall remain nameless because he might be embarrassed. He didn't want one because he said he was just doing his job, and he wouldn't let us throw him a party. You other road crew members, you know who you are.
It's a dangerous job.
It is a dangerous job, and it's a job that takes dedication. Oh, it takes getting up at 2 in the morning and getting out in front of the weather.
So the roads are going to be fine.
Yes, they
will
they
be
are.
Fine.
Don't freak.
They will be fine. They will be fine, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's a great thing to do. I mean, this hasn't been a terribly cold winter, but you still got cabin fever. There's still stuff you can't do easy.
And I'm looking forward to seeing the parents of the kids that I have worked with for 40 years. And
how about the kids of the kids?
And the kids too, because I'll be singing some songs for them
and their
children, for the grandparents, and it's going to be just a fabulous evening.
And another first, I might score after the show because I've produced John and Gilmore. And another first, John Gilmore and Rusty DeWeese.
Oh my goodness!
To sing together.
That ought to be a lot of fun.
Two songs we're going to sing.
Oh, you're letting
at least
you're letting all the cats out of the bag, dude. There's going to be no surprises.
Never happened before in the history
of
the
world. It's true, though, and that's cool for me.
Yeah. Is there a reason for that? Is the town of Elmore going to survive this?
If I sing, that's right, we're two Elmorians. If I sing and he's singing with me, all of a sudden, like that instantly, I'm pretty good singer.
That's cool. He's the kind of singer that my brother is a dancer. My brother makes every woman look good when he takes her out on the floor. It's amazing. You want to dance with my brother because he makes you look good.
Well, I got a secret for you. Rusty doesn't need anybody to make him look good.
Well, this is true. We all know this.
But my fear is that he's going to be too good because it's not fair that he's as funny as he is and as entertaining, and he's a good singer. That's not right.
The thing that I do is I'll intro the show, and I do have all these executive producers and producers. It's a fancy word for sponsors. They know, mm-hmm. I don't need sponsoring, but they're buying ads on the show.
Well, yeah.
So I do a little thing in the second act where I talk about the advertisers, and it brings you into their business. Mm-hmm. It's kind of even the promoting of the advertiser.
Really,
I try to
idea.
Make it a community stuff, and it's a little funny. And then John and I are going to do something, and then the second act, he's got it. Boom, to the end.
I think it sounds like a tremendous evening. Talking with John Gilmore and Rusty DeWeese here on Open Mic. Thank you, fellas, for coming in. Do you want to add something?
I just want to say, Hester, that is so glorious to have you back on the radio.
Everybody says that. Well, not everybody.
Well, no, we all mean it, too, because you are the best.
Well, no, I'm not the best, but I really appreciate
second
having
best.
You here.
But second
road
best.
Road crew and draftsmen.
they are the best.
Good to have them back on the radio,
too. That's really true. No, it's a lot of fun to be back. Hey, you know how I knew I was back? I got a phone message from Ken last night upending my whole plan for today's show. So I just, I'm back! No, I hope he's happy. I'm sure he'll be happy. Ken Dean is a wonderful man, and I really love working here. It's an excellent spot. I had something in the top of my mind, but it just kind of vanished. My train of thought has gone off the rails.
It's our fault.
It is your fault. Sure.
That other one was for the producer.
For Tom?
I brought that for John because he always produces these things when I come in here.
And I never see the second one.
But
that's for my producer, Tom McLeod. Tom, look, they're really good.
Thank you. And I was wondering, because Rusty seems to be following me. We see each other, two or three times everywhere we go?
Oh, at the farm show and everything.
At the farm show?
That's great.
So I guess there's worse people to see.
Don't take it personally.
No, it works out pretty good.
Who's stalking whom here? I don't know. Oh, that music means that it's a minute to go until 11 o'clock. Hester Fuller's been my name, and I guess it still is. I guess it'll be my name I'm kind of stuck with it. I like it. And you are listening to WDEV AM 550 Waterbury, Vermont, also broadcasting at 96.1 FM in Warren, 96.5 FM in Barrie, 101.9 FM in Island Pond. Hey, guys, you know this whole thing has been recorded, and folks can link into the podcast. The
cool.
podcast will be available.
Where do they get that?
Where do they get that?
You don't have to have an From Apple us. Watch, do you?
No, you don't have to have an Apple Watch. You just have to be able to get podcasts, and you can listen to yourself, and the folks who called in, you can tune in and get your friends to hear how smart you sound.
Excellent.
So yeah, no, it'd be great. And that's available to you at wdevradio.com.